I think we're up to Sif Tesvav, if I'm not mistaken. Sif Tesvav says, Shin Sar Yosef Lo Hishva Osam. Because Sif Yudalid, we had on the board the whole price of it. Sif Yudalid is a very simple case, which was a woman had a Vesis Kavua and three times changed to the same thing. Or once or twice, three times changed to the same thing. Sif Tesvav is, it's part of what we had on the board, it just wasn't the Shulchan Aruch last Sif. What if three times she changes something else? Kigon, Shishin Sapam Achas Liyom Shloshim, Vasheni Lulamid Beis, Vashlishi Lulamid Dalid. So, of course, over here, the Shach points out that this is a bad example that the Machaber chose here, because the whole point of Sif Tesvav is that she three times broke her Vesis Kavua, but didn't establish a new pattern. While Lamed and Lamed Beis and Lamed Dalid, of course, is a new pattern according to Rav, because it's a pattern of Dilug. So the Shach just points out, he says that, okay, you have to assume that this Sif is going according to Shmuel. I mean, the Shach, this is the upshot of the Shach. This Sif, for this Sif's purposes, we'll assume like Shmuel. I know halacha l'maisa, this is very complicated because it's like a suffix whether or not she made a new Vesis or not. But for this Sif's purposes, we'll go like Shmuel and assume that Lamed, Lamed Beis, and Lamed Dalet is not a Vesis. And that's why it's just considered random things. And if we were rewriting the Shulchan Aruch, we would just write Lamed, Lamed Beis, and Lamed Gimel and make it simpler. Okay, the Shach and Sivkat Lamed Beis also quotes a strange Bach, who says something that's completely inexplicable. So we will not chazer that together. But the Shach points out this is a classic machlokes Rabbi Shmuel. So let's assume like Shmuel, so we can read this because that's not the point of this if. What is the point of this if? That if she changed three times, but lo hishva, but didn't establish a new vesis instead, then what's the rule? Ne'ekar vesis har rishon, uproot the first vesis. The ain la vesis klal. Now she doesn't have a vesis at all. She's back to being a woman without a vesis because she uprooted the first one but didn't establish a new one. And what's the rule of a woman who used to have a vesis and now doesn't have a vesis? So we're familiar. Remember, we said not all Rishonim necessarily agree with this, but the vast majority of Rishonim do. The rule called Orach Bezmano Bah. What does that rule mean? If you used to have a vesis and it was uprooted and it wasn't replaced by a different vesis, it still lies dormant. And if it happens once, it comes back to full strength, and that's how the Mechaber ends. If she ever goes back to see, again, like the first Veses, meaning if her original Veses was a Chodesh, you know, Yud Gimel, if she ever sees a Yud Gimel, if her original Veses was a Flugga, like 28, she ever sees twice 28 days apart, then Chodesh L'Kvius HaRishon, the original Veses comes back to its original strength. Choshesh L'Otamad HaShi'achim Shalosh Pamim, she has to be Choshesh for it as if it was a full Veses Kavua until it's uprooted three more times. Okay, that hopefully is sort of clear, and we basically learned this last time. Now, what is the case here that we haven't discussed yet? Let's review the two cases we've discussed. There are three ways to have a Vesis Kavua and miss it three times. You can miss it three times and establish a new Vesis instead. Then the old one is totally empty recycle bin, and the new one is there. You can miss it three times and see three random days without a new pattern. Then you were over it, but it still lies dormant, and if it comes back once, it's back. Then there's a new case, which is only discussed in the Seifa of the Mechaber here. What if you miss it three times, quote-unquote, but not with a pattern or a non-pattern? You just don't see it all for three times. What if you all of a sudden become menopausal for three times? So he says, V'huadin lehefsika medur sholosh onos. If you just have a hefsek, you don't see three times. Three times in your cycle, whatever your cycle is, if it's Yom HaChodesh, you don't see for 3 months in a row at all, on any day. Or if it's a Haflaga, you don't see for three times that Haflaga, whatever it is. If your Haflaga is 40, you'd need to have 120 without seeing. If your Haflaga is 25, you need 75. Whatever it is, you go three periods and totally do not get a period at all. Then, according to the Mechaber, it's the same rule. According to the Mechaber, sounds like, according to the Mechaber, it is the same rule. What is the rule? That it is uprooted because you missed it three times, but it's still dormant because it wasn't replaced with something else, and therefore, if you it happens once again on that day, it returns to being a Vesis Kavua. So for the Mechaber, having no period for three cycles is the same as having random periods for three cycles.
I don't remember what we said when it's based matters. What does Orach B'Zman Abba apply to? Which Vestos?
It applies to Vesa Chodesh, to Vesa Saflaga. You asked me in the Beis Medrash, does it apply to fancier Vestos like D-Log and C-Log, etc.? And I said, I don't have a proof, but I think so. I think it applies to everything. Okay, now, this is the machlokas sort of left off with from the Chedush Ramban. That's, remember, it wasn't Matzatas from the Ramban because he didn't have a copy of the Chedush, but I read it to you from the Chedush Ramban. The following question. We Paskin, let's review. We Paskin like Rav Huna, Braid Rav Yeshua, that if she sees 20, 20, 20, not 20, but rather 30, obviously she still has to be choshev our flug of 20. Pretend I have flugos here. Well, when do you count the 20 from? Do you count it when she should have, would have, could have seen, or when she did see? So we pass in clear maskana of the Gemara. This is, you know, since the time of the Amorayim, this has been a clearly established halacha, that she is hosheshes for 20 from the 30, not, that's an X from an arrow, not from when she didn't see. She is hosheshes when she did see, not when she didn't see. That was clear. What was machlokas? I put, I think, in around the same part of the board last time. That seems to be a difference between the Chedush Ramban and many of the other Rishonim. And here is a machlokas achronim. What happened? Here we have two ways to count her 20. She could count from when she would have seen or when she did see. The answer is when she did see. The question is, what if there's only one way to count her 20? What's the case? 20, 20, 20, 20. Not 20. And nothing else yet. She has a, she still has a vestus of 20 because she's only uprooted it once. Does she count 20 from when she would have seen, should have seen, or from, or not at all? Right? There's no other candidate. So it's not obvious from the Gemara. It's obvious from the Gemara. When you have something to count 20 from, count from there, not from when you didn't see. But here the option is, what are the two options? Either count Hosheshes for 20 from when she would have seen, and say, well, if you don't have an actual Re'iyah, then you count from the should have been Re'iyah, or the other option is there's no shash haflaga at all, because obviously there's nothing else you can count 20 from. So that's the question. Do you say there's no 20 at all because you can't count haflaga from a time she didn't see? Or no? If there's no other candidate, you count from when she didn't see. That's the machlokas between the Torah and the Beis Yosef versus the Marshal, Bach, and the Shach in this Se'if of Shulchan Aruch. And here it's not obviously Gemara. Remember, we called this the Ramban last time, but in our Se'if, this is, I'll put a parenthesis from the last Se'if, the Chidushi Ramban, the Beis Yosef, and the Taz. They say, well, and the Taz even is Diyukim in the Rashba. He says, the Rashba says, of course you don't count 20 when you would have seen, because then it'll be 10 from the 30, and you have to have a proper count from the 30. He made a deep, says, that shows that the only reason we don't count when you would have seen is because you did see. But otherwise we would have. And then Shach and Kuzgesu says, it's not a good deal. Okay, Lamaisa is the Beis Yosef Taz. This is the Maharshal, quoted by the Taz. The Bach, also quoted by the Taz, says, even though my father-in-law did like the Maharshal, I don't. And the Shach, in the Nekudas HaKesef, the Shach doesn't say anything. There's a Shach here. I guess he thought it was too obvious to comment. Then when he saw the Taz, he says, okay, I guess I better correct this. yeah.
What's the Hamina that she wouldn't have
a... Maybe she just... Look, her flag is 20 from her last period. She doesn't have a last period to count 20 from. So you can't apply the Hafluga. She still has a Vesa flag of 20. It's just you can't apply it because there's nothing to count from. Right? It's still there. She still has a flag of 20. Just, it's not practically applicable because her flag is 20 since her last period. And once it's already 30 since her last period, it's never going to be 20 again since her last period until she bleeds again.
I mean, it means wait till she sees
now. Exactly. They would say, yeah, the next 20 is wait till she bleeds and then count 20. And that is the machlokas of the first machlokas about how to deal with this case in Shulchan Aruch. Let's see what the case is in Shulchan Aruch. The case in Shulchan Aruch is 20, 20, 20, 20 your whole life, and then not 20 after that, and not 20 after that, right? She was mafsik three onos. She went three of her haflugos without seeing anything, right? That's the case. Now, what does the Shulchan Aruch imply? The Shulchan Aruch implies that there's some sort of akira of some sort, although he doesn't actually say terribly explicitly. So what is the din in this case? This is gufa, the machlokis, between the Taz and the Maharshal, or, you know, add the Shitas. Well, let's put the Taz here. Here we'll put Taz. And here we'll put Maharshal. Says the Taz, you know what happened? This was Akira 1. Here, she was Chosheshes, and then it didn't happen, and this is Akira 2. Here, she again was Chosheshes, and it didn't happen, and this is Akira 3, and now it's Nekar, because she missed her period three times when she was expecting it. Obviously, she's was Chosheshes here. That everyone agrees. Right? That's the way the Taz views the timeline. She had three times when Chazal told her, oh, this is your onus HaVeses. She was poor from Tash with her husband for one onus. She did a Bdika. And for three times, it failed. And that's why it was uprooted. Says the Maharshal, no, that's ridiculous. Says the Maharshal, what happened according to the Maharshal? Obviously, she was Chosheshes here. That's obvious. She told the phony to hurry. And this is one Akira. And then what happened to her Veset? She never had another 20. There was never an opportunity to test out her Veses. Right? And then there was never another Onas HaVeses because she never had another 20. By this day, this was already 40, technically 39, and this day was already 58. There was never another 20, because, what do you mean 20? This is 20, there's not going to be another 20 until she bleeds again. How could there be another 20? He doesn't agree with the Taz and the Yisrael Seif that you start counting when she should have seen. Okay, so do you have one Akira or three? Either way, you're not Chosheish anymore. But according to the Taz, you're not Chosheish anymore. Here, who should we add to the Marshal? The Bach and the Shach. According to the Taz, you're not Chosheish anymore because it already happened three times and now it's gone. According to the Marshal, you're not Chosheish anymore because it was only Nekar once. But then it can't ever come again until you bleed. Because you can't have another 20 until you bleed again. And that's why you're not Chosheish again.
And once she does bleed?
Once she does bleed, then of course she's Chosheish again, says the Maharshal. Of course, once she bleeds, she was only Ochre once. Once she bleeds, she's Chosheish again. That's the Machlokas, Taz Maharshal. What happened during these 3 months? Was she poorish for her husband three times and uprooted three times, or only poorish for her husband once and uprooted once? And Maharshal, he's lost, like, oh, it's uprooted forever till she bleeds. It's not that it's uprooted forever till she bleeds, it says no Hechi Timtzi. Right? There's just no Hechi Timtzi.
That's why the Shulchan Aruch says Chazer, that it's coming back, even though it's still...
Okay, well, the Maharshal's actually not going to like the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, as we'll see in a moment.
According to the Bach and Shach, this isn't an application of Aruch Bizman and Bach, because she never actually was Oker, the original Bess.
According to the Maharshal, right, the Shach's more complicated, at least according to the Maharshal, correct. And we'll point that out in a moment. Now, what would be one... And now here's where it gets a little tricky. Okay. Now let's finish this according to the Maharshal and according to the Beis Yosef. And I'm picking my sides carefully here. What happens now if all of a sudden she sees, you know, on some random day, right? She sees on day... I have no idea. On day, let's say from here,
Day 73.
Just picked a random day that's more than three ovos for her. What happens to her now? So, what is her status now? So, according to the Beis Yosef, she is an Isha She'ein La Veses Kavua, right? According to Beis Yosef, she's a woman without a Veses Kavua. And what's she Choshesh for? She's Choshesh for Yom HaChodesh. She's Choshesh for Onabeinanis. Maybe she's Choshesh for her last Haflaga. That'll be controversial because it's such a long Haflaga. Okay. Isha She'ein La Kavua. Her last Ri'iyah. Right? When does her old Veses come back? Only if, as he said in the Shulchan Aruch, only if she sees again with that flag of 20. Right? Only if she sees another 20. Right? The old Veses returns only if she sees twice with an interval of 20. Right? Because then you have the rule of Orchmanobah, that even though it was Nekar, it comes back. That's the Beis Yosef, and that's what he said here in the Shulchan Aruch. That's pretty much what it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch sounds like. It was Nekar three times. And this rule of Baruch is not above. She happens, meaning if she sees 73 and I guess, 20 later than that, call it 92 if you want, whatever it may be, then, or if she sees 73 and then sees a random day in 20 days from then, only if she sees another 20 interval does she go back to her old Veses. And that's what it sounds like from the Shulchan Aruch. The Maharshal has an exactly opposite approach. Says the Maharshal and the Bach seems to agree to the Maharshal. He says, no, are you kidding? Now that she sees again, she is a woman with a Veses. Of course she has a Veses Kavua. She only had one Shinoi. She only missed it once. She is a woman with a Veses Kavua. And and with a Shinoi. What do you mean? She is Isha Sheyeshla Veses Kavua. Of course she's not, doesn't keep an Onabeinanis. Why would she have to keep an Onabeinanis? She's the one with the Veses Kavua who just deviated once. What's she Chosheshes? The Chosheshes Leveses HaKavua. Well, the Shinoi, she's Chosheshes Leveses Kavua, and for the Shinoi, we'll get into details in a moment, right? But not for Onabeinanis. Why would she have to be Choshesh for Onabeinanis? After all, she won the Veses Kavua. Meaning, according to Marshal, when does the Veses Kavua return, quote unquote? It doesn't really have to return because it was never uprooted. It just has to find another Hechitensi. When does the Veses Kavua come back? When she has any Ri'iyah to count from, right? The old Veses returns equals is applicable. It doesn't really have to return. It just has to have a contingency as soon as she sees on any day. Because now she can count 20 from that day. So that's the nafkamina. If she sees on 73, or whatever day, you pick any day in the world that you want, that's more than three onos. According to Marshall, of course her old Veses returns. It was never gone. It just lacked the Hechitensi. Now you have the Hechitensi. Start count to 20 from now, and that's your real Veses. Okay, Beis Yosef, it's Nekar. It's only return if you see on 20 again. That's the Shitas, the Beis Yosef, and the Maharshal. Notice I have not yet mentioned the Taz or the Shach. Okay, these are pretty straightforward. However, how do we paskel on this? Most of the later postgame agree with the Marshal and the Shach that we never count from a day you didn't see. Basically, according to the poskim, according to the later poskim, we have an absolute rule. You only count haflagos from re'ios. You never count haflagos from non-re'ios, no matter what the circumstance is. And therefore, we poskim like the, at least so far, like the Marshalim Bach Neshach. Okay, maybe I put my check a little too early. Because here's where it gets a little complicated. Why does it get complicated? Because this is a funny case. When you go three onos without seeing, it's different than just deviating three times. In what way? There is a concept called misulekes damin. There's something called siluk damin. Meaning, not having a period. Losing your period legamrei. Losing your period legamrei has different halachic status than just having a different pattern. Like, for example, in the beginning of Maseches Nida, beginning of Maseches Nida, the shita of Rabbi Eliezer is that any woman who doesn't get her period for three cycles is now dayashata. Next time she bleeds, she's not metame l'mafreya for 24 hours, like a regular woman. Okay, that's some of the Tara and Yavin that are in the first parak of Nida. Meaning, he assumes there's some status. If you miss three cycles, you're already considered to be almost like not a menstruating woman. And therefore, that could change the equation. Does that change the equation? According to everyone on the board so far, according to the Marshal Levach, and the Beis Yosef say that has not changed the equation. But here's where the Taz and the Shach cross lines, as it were. You expect the Taz to start out like the Beis Yosef. Ah, she lost her Veses, and therefore, it doesn't come back unless she sees once that same pattern. But at the very end of this very long Taz, he says, Hilkach nil and he's died to compare Beis Yosef, Cain, Iker, etc., etc. What he says afterwards, that it only comes back if you have on 20 ones, that part he doesn't really like. Why? Because he thinks that here you have siluk damin. What is the Taz? The Taz says this is the Beis Yosef. However, says the Taz, but the Taz says, once you have three misses, and that's called siluk damin, you're choshesh the first time, choshesh the second time, choshesh the third time. Up to here was the Bach and the Taz. Was the Beis Yosef and the Taz, sorry. But once you miss three times, now you're called siluk damin. And he sees siluk damin as a timeout. What's his model? His model is, now here it's machlokes we show him, but the way we paskin, his model is, let's say a woman gets pregnant. She's now Mesulekes Damin. And then she has a baby, and she's still Mesulekes Damin. And then she finishes nursing the baby, or whatever the time period is, we'll see. Now she goes back to getting to being a menstruating woman again. What happened to her old Veses? She had a Veses of every Yud Gimel L'Chodesh. Then she got pregnant. Of course, she missed it 9 times. Then she had the baby, nursed the baby, and whatever the case may be, she missed it another 24 times. Finally, 34 months later, comes up Yud Gimel. She wants to know if she still has a Veses or not. Says a vast majority of the Shonan, the Pesach and the Shulchan Aruch, she does. It doesn't count as an Akira, because since she was at a timeout for menstruation, that doesn't count as an Akira. That counts as if nothing happened. Says the Taz, once you get to 3 times, all of a sudden we look at it differently and we say, that was not an Akira. That was a siluk damin. It was a timeout. And when you finish the timeout, you're exactly right back where you started. I hope that's true in sports as well. When you finish the timeout, you're right back where you started. Right? It's hard to figure out with enough minas, right? So that's what the Taz says at the end. Says the Taz, he throws a curveball. He says, I agree up to here, but says the Taz says that once she misses 3 times, There's a chalos called siluk damim. I wouldn't say chalos. She is a. It's lunafreya. We view it as siluk damim. It is siluk damim and not akira. It is siluk damim and not akira. So even though the Taz started out the same as Beis Yosef, saying, well, she was ochre once, ochre twice, ochre three times. Once she was ochre three times, now we glory mil said siluk damim. And once it is siluk damim, once it's siluk damim, now it's not nekar. Now the vessess returns. Now the vessess returns. Now the vessess wasn't even nekar once. Because the glory mil said it was siluk damim and not akira. And the Vesses is still the Vesses is still valid. So after she sees on any day, the Vesses returns. And what does he compare it to? A woman who had a baby. The Vesses returns as soon as she starts menstruating again. So says the Taz, I agree with the Beis Yosef. Up to a point. But then all of a sudden I switch and I agree with the Marshal. I agree with Beis Yosef that it was Nekar three times. But then I throw a curveball and I switch the Marshal and say, once it was Nekar three times, Igloy Milsa was Siluk Damim and not Akiras Vesses. Once it's Siluk Damim, the Vesses is still here. That's the curveball of the Taz. On the other hand, the Shach throws an opposite curveball in the Kudus HaKesef. What does the Shach say? But says the Shach, you're right. It was only Nekar once. But once she loses her period three times, that's an Akira. Says the Shach, no. Once she goes three cycles without a period, that's an automatic Akira. Not me didn't missing three times. It's just a new Akira called going three times without a period. Meaning what happens is that the Taz says, I'm with Beis Yosef up to a point, but I think when you miss three cycles, that automatically makes it not an Akira, but rather a timeout. The Shach says, I'm with Marshal up to a point, but once you go three cycles, even though it wasn't really three Vestals, but it's still the time of three cycles, that's an automatic Akira. There's a special rule that going 3 months without a period is an Akira. And therefore, she is Isha She'ein La Veses. And he says, don't compare it to a nursing woman, to a woman who gets pregnant. The woman who gets pregnant has a timeout. This woman doesn't have a timeout. This woman, by uprooting the whole idea of menstruation, uproots a Veses. And the old Vesses returns only if she sees once or twice with an interval of 20. So interestingly, the Shach starts out like the Marshal and then ends up passing like the Beis Yosef. And the Taz starts out like Beis Yosef and ends up passing like the Maharshal.
What kind of circumstances lead to a woman not having a period for 3 months?
You're asking a scientific question?
I'm asking because
why lots of circumstances.
Why is it that the Shach is comfortable connecting them and the Taz is uncomfortable? Because if it's a reason like Siluk Damim and there's no period coming, so like, are they comparable or are they not comparable?
That's the Machlokas Taz and Shach. The Taz and Shach both agree that something special has happened here. Just the Taz says the special thing that happened here is just like pregnancy.
Right,
it's a timeout. So the Shach says something special has happened here, but the opposite of pregnancy. And where do they get that from? I don't know. Just their svaras.
I mean,
now I got my scientifically lots of things to make a woman not get her period for many months.
Not playing sports. Not like women's athletes sometimes have their periods for a while.
I mean, it depends how seriously you play sports. Basically, Various types of significant physical stress cause a woman to act at her period because there's some fail-safe switch in the body that if you don't have enough resources to stay alive, then it's better to shut down the hormonal cycle of the period and stay alive until you get back to a normal time. Like, for example, if there's starvation, if there's a famine, then women won't get their period. Because the logic is, it's better to not get your period and hope until the famine ends than to waste resources on the reproductive cycle when, you know, come on, you're not going to survive pregnancy anyway. And when you need, like, every calorie to stay alive. So that happens when people are starving. It can happen in other significant physical stresses. I'm not familiar with serious athletes, but it could very well be that if someone has such an athletic regimen that, you know, they are working so hard that they use up every calorie they consume, et cetera, and they're using it all to build muscle. I'm not bucking these things. It could very well be that would trigger a similar reaction. Of course, there could be other random things as well. Not regular things that happen to normal people. You know, I'm assuming that people who, you know, are starving or people who, for some reason, want to be such serious athletes are both exceptional sorrows that don't happen to most people.
I just read a New York Times article during lunch about Nike, this whole scandal that the coaches pushed the female athletes so much and made them, like, basically starve themselves and also emotionally abused, that a lot of the women stopped having their periods.
That would make sense.
And then they weren't able to then have the right hormones in their body, and then that just made it worse.
Meaning it had long-term negative effects.
Right.
Correct. Meaning it certainly has long-term negative effects. Now, again, in the case of the old days when there was famine, whatever long-term negative effects were still worth it because it was better than dying on the spot, right? Because if you got your period, you'd be more likely to die on the spot because, you know, you just didn't have enough calories to survive. But, yeah, in this case, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. So there's many ways to have strange things.
At this point, I thought, like, so the whole thing in the focus, like, on Lundus and what causes an Akira is not seeing on your day, like, the beginning of an Akira, or is seeing on another day the beginning of an Akira. And the Tazman basically says not seeing on your day is, therefore, every time your day you're supposed to see on that day comes, then that's the Akira. The Marashah and the Bach and the Shah say that, no, it's the other Tzad, but the Shach and the Taz will, like, say that with these middle cases that they'll be masking to the other side.
I'm not sure I'm 100% convinced. Right, you're saying, what's the etzim beginning machlokas? The way I said it was, is it called a 20 if it's not from a re'ia? And the way you're saying, no, is it that you need a different thing to be akira, or you just need not to see on that day to be an akira? I mean, the marshal and the shach would also say, oh, every day is a 20. No, it's not just a machlokas, but it's an akira. I'll tell you why. Because the marshal says, you don't have to be chosheshes in this day. So it's not just machlokas about akiras, it's machlokas whether this is called 20 or not. I mean, the Marshal says you don't have to be Chosheshes here. Right? According to your theory, that doesn't explain the Marshal and the Shach. You said it's only an Akira if it happens a different day. But if you but you seem to be admitting that this is called the time of the Vessels.
I guess I'm not being Shachis for that.
Okay, but in the next case, you can end up saying the same thing that I said in different words. You have to think about it. Let me just summarize it for a moment on the board, and then I'll take lots of questions. I'm just going to rewrite what I said in different words to make it clearer, less clear. I guess you'll be the judge. I clearly have my hopes. What happens at first? 20, 20, 20, 20, not 20, not 20, not 20. So, one machlokus is that, according to the Taz and the Beis Yosef, this is called the Yom HaVeses, and this is called the Yom HaVeses, and obviously this is called Yom HaVeses. According to the Maharshal, Bach, and Shach, This is the Yom HaVeses. And these days have no status whatsoever. They're not the Yom HaVeses because they're not 20 Sinsariya. That's one machlokas. I mean, does she have to separate from her husband on 20, on the 40th day or 39th day, etc.? Does she have to separate from her husband that day? So according to the Taz Beis Yosef, yes. And according to the Shach HaMarshal, no, because it wasn't any special day. The other machlokas is, if then she sees afterwards once, now, according to the Beis Yosef and the Shach, according to Beis Yosef and the Shach, she has no Veses Kavua, and it only returns if she sees Behaflagas Esrin, according to the Marshal and the Bach and the Taz. Once she sees once, the Veses Kavua returns immediately. Why is this? But for two different reasons. The reason is Lefi Beis Yosef, because it was Nekar Gimel Pe'amim, and Lefi Shach, it's Mishum Din Miyuchad, because of a special rule, Shel Akiras Veses Al Yedei Akiras Damim Falit. Right? According to Beis Yosef, you know why it was Nekar? And it's not going to come back to give Oruch Mananaba? Because she was Oker three times. According to Shach, she wasn't Oker three times. There's a special rule. She was Oker menstruation in Bechlau. When you're Oker menstruation in Bechlau, that's Oker all Vestos you have. And here, there are also two different Esberim. Lefi Maharshal. The reason is Mishum Shenekar Rak Pam Achas. Her Marshal was only Nekar once. That's why it's still there if you see afterwards. But according to the Taz, it's for a different reason. Mishum Din Miyuchad De Igloi Milsa Shelo Haya Akiras Veses Ela Siluk Damim, El Asiluk Damim, and Asiluk Damim is just a timeout. And after a time, whatever you missed during the timeout, the clock doesn't run during the timeout, you go right back to where you were. Okay, that's what I was trying to say. Any questions? Yaakov? I'm sorry to interrupt you again. How do we paskin? Most of later Achronim paskin like Beis Yosef and the Shach, meaning in the end they're like the Shach. Which you could also fit into the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch if you want. You know, it's not necessarily what it sounds like, but you can squeeze it in. Yaakov, now ask me a question. Sorry.
I think my question is it specific that she didn't see for three straight months? Meaning, if she saw 20, 20, 20, and then not 20, then 30, and then not 20...
Then that wouldn't be any... No, then...
It's not the same conversation.
Correct, not at all. And by the way, let's say she had a Veses HaChodesh, then this first machlokas wouldn't be an inyan. Like, of course, if she had Yud Gimel, Yud Gimel, Yud Gimel, she missed one Yud Gimel, she has another Yud Gimel, she has next month's Yud Gimel. She missed that Yud Gimel, she has next month's Yud Gimel. Everyone agrees she's called Shesh on Yud Gimel, Yud Gimel, and Yud Gimel, because it's not an inyan of a flugger from anything. But in the end, let's say she missed 3 months. If she missed 3 months, you could have a similar machlokas. The Beis Yosef and the Shach would say, once you missed 3 months, now her Veses was Nekar. And the Taz would say, no, it's once you glimpse at Siluk Dom, and the Veses is not Nekar. And the Marshal didn't say anything that directly relates to this. Okay, any other questions? And if not, we'll make one more Ha'ara and then move on. What's the one more Ha'ara? There's a machlokas which is quoted in the Piskei Chuas of Katan Tes Vav of Let's say, let's say she sees afterwards once. Let's go back to the 73. This is a hafluga of, I guess, 53, or whatever, 54, depending on exactly how you're counting the days, right? Let's, 73 after. No, 73. She has a flag of 73 now. Okay, she has a flag of 73. Now, does she have to be choshesh for a flag of 73 at this point? Meaning, if she doesn't have a vestas kavua, she should be choshesh for her last flag of 73. If she does have a vestas kavua, but she had a shinoi, she should be choshesh for the shinoi 73. So is she choshesh for 73? Or do we say, no, 73 is so long, it's more than three cycles? You're not choshesh for something more than three cycles. More than three cycles is called, like, not having a period. You can't call that a veses. So this is a machlokes achronim. Here the Marshal and the Bach, the Marshal quoted in the Taz, says explicitly, of course you're not choshesh for 73. That's too long to be choshesh for. Remember, we had a Dugmer Vavo says you're not even choshesh for 60. Anything that's significantly more than a month, you're not choshesh for. Marshal says, well, at least if it's more than three cycles, you're not choshesh for that. That's ridiculous. And the Chavos Das, going to Piskei Tshuva, says, about your choshesh, why not? You're choshesh as much as you want. So here, with just one inyan, is she choshesh for veses she'eino kavua de haflagas 73? The Maharshal said no, because it's more than three cycles. Anything more than three cycles, you can't say I'm choshesh for that. That's too long to be a haflaga. And the Chavos Das and the Tshuva said yes. Look over, we hold like the Marshal here, even though last time I passed like the Chavos Das against the Dugmei Vava, that even if it's 60, you're still choshesh for Eino Kavua, that's less than three cycles. But it's three cycles, l'chora, we would hold like the Marshal. Anyway, that's a side machlokes. Theoretically, you could say it depends on these two sides, but not machlokes.
According to the Chavos Das, would he say that, right, if the haflaga is more than 3 months, and she sees more than three times within that 3 month period, so she's seen three different haflagas, by the time she gets to her 73, let's say. So.
No, the nafkamina is, let's say she doesn't bleed, and day 73 comes again. Would you have to be choshesh? She saw on day 73, right, and then didn't bleed for 72 days. Then you have to be choshesh. The Marshal would say no. The Chavos Das would say yes.
Chavos Das would mean if she sees other re'iyot.
No, then he would admit that.
Oh, because it was just like, in a couple of years.
Yeah.
So where was the Marshal on the line for, like, in Vesta Dila going upwards? At a certain point, you would say, I would have to...
No, it would be fine, because it's never more than three of her cycles, because it's always one of her cycle.
Meaning that becomes...
Goes by her cycle, yes. Meaning, if her cycle is always 40 her whole life, then in order to be considered too long, it would have to be more than 120. Correct. The ant jumped from 20 to 73 because that's more than three times what it used to be.
Yeah.
Of course, you see 73, then that's her new kavua.
Right, so it's not the amount of time, it's the jump from what it used to be.
Correct. Although he might also admit that if she has no vestas kavua at all, more than 90 would be a problem because you'd use on a davidness instead. Okay, that's so much for Sifteh Vav. If there's no questions, we'll move on. Tes Zayin should be pretty straightforward. Sifteh Zayin, Kayotz presented Nakiras Veses Rosh Chodeshim. Ketzad, Haishav Gila Rosh Rosh Chodeshim Va'avar Le Rosh Chodesh Lo Rasa. She always saw in Rosh Chodesh, and then one Rosh Chodesh she didn't. Rosheshes Rosh Chodesh. She's of course that's only one Akira. She works with the next Rosh Chodesh. At she Avar Le Shlosha Rosh Chodeshim till she has three Rosh Chodeshes pass. Avar Le Shlosha Rosh Chodesh Lo Rasa. If three Rosh Chodeshes passed and she didn't see, Ain a choshesh lahem. Now she's uprooted. She doesn't worry about Rosh Chodesh anymore. Chaz v'rasa Rosh Chodesh. Chaz v'restam kovah. If she sees Rosh Chodesh once the rest of her life, meaning until she makes a new veses, then Orech Zanava, she goes back to Rosh Chodesh. This is pretty straightforward. You don't have the whole issue over here because Rosh Chodesh doesn't have to count for anything. Everyone agrees. You see Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, and not Tammuz. Of course you worry about Rosh Chodesh Av. And if you don't see Av, of course you worry about Rosh Chodesh Elul. And if you don't see Elul, of course you worry about three times. Shalom al Yisrael. There'd still be room for a machlokas once, if she didn't see it all for 3 months, Do we call it a siluk daman? Do we call it an akira? Okay, and then you would apply what we saw then. Okay, there's some discussions here in the Pisley Tshuva, but we're not going to go on into them now. We're going to ask Ellie to take it, or someone to take a picture of the board, and now we're going to move on to a new kind of vessus. Now we're really moving on for pretty, well, there are mostly two more topics left in this simon. One is physical vestos, and number two is women who, due to, not just due to missing, but due to their objective biological state, are not expected to get a period. But first, physical vestos. So, kol veses shenikba machbas ones. Now, here we just have to keep our terminology straight. Because, interestingly enough, we're used to thinking of ones in the moral sense of the word. Right? Ones means it, you didn't decide to do it. You know, and rutzo means you decided to do it. When it comes to zava and vestos, they use them, ironically, you know, it just works out in a way opposite to the moral sense of the world. Ones means you decided to do it.
Why?
Why? Because what do we mean? Ones means that you were ma'anes your uterus. She was ma'anes her mucker to bleed, to make it bleed. So just don't be confused if you say ones sounds like what we call rotzon in Maseches Sanhedrin and in Maseches Bava Kamma and Maseches Makos. Yeah, ones here means you did something that forced your uterus to bleed. Without getting into the most common example nowadays, right? The classic example of the Mars Kafza, she jumped. Maybe jumping makes her bleed. I've heard apocryphal reports of how doing gymnastics can cause some small amount of inspiration. I don't know if it's really true. You can never tell how much to trust, third-hand reports. But there are such apocryphal reports at the very least floating around. So maybe kfitza can cause a woman to bleed. So here we have a Gemara in Nida Daf Yud Aleph, and there are two issues that come up in these two se'ifim, which are machlokas rishonim, how to interpret the Gemara. But again, these are hopefully fairly straightforward. Yud Aleph Amid Aleph. What are you guys telling me, by the way? I'll make a rare exception to my normal educational policy and implement democracy. Should I turn on the air conditioner and then it gets a little chilly, chillier than we want, or leave it off and then we fall asleep more than we want? Raise your hand if you want to turn on the air conditioner.
Why don't you raise the temperature of the air conditioner?
Okay. Yeah, I tried that and it didn't help. I
guess 22.
Another degree. 22, you tied up?
Okay,
22. See, that's real democracy. Whoever talks loudest wins. We cover it with a veneer of majority vote. But this is a really good illustration of how politics works. Great. Okay, now let's get back to Hilchos Nida, because my topic is not politics now. I have a lot to say about politics. I recognize that what I have to say about politics is not based on the same type of authority as what I have to say about Hilchos Nida, so I will stick with Hilchos Nida when pretty much everything I have to say is halacha psuka, as opposed to just being right. But I can prove that it's right because it's written somewhere. Says the Gemara, Nida daf yalef amid aleph. Amar Rav Huna, kafza v'rasa, kafza v'rasa, kafza v'rasa, kavas lo veses. She jumps and sees, jumps and sees, jumps and sees. That's a veses, kavua. What's the case? It can't be, he can't be talking about a veses of days, because it has nothing to do with days. So, it must be he means a veses of kfitza, which was pretty obvious, pshat. And then they say some sort of ve'atanya. They bring this brisa, and then they bring a resolution to the brisa, and it's not clear what we mean in the end. Ve'atanya, the brisa says, kol shetikveder machmas ones afilu kama pa'am lo kava veses. What do you mean? If it's machmas ones, then it's not kvius. There can't be an ones, a kvius of ones. My love, lo kov veses klal. Alo, lo kov veses liyom l'chodayu, lo kvius l'chodayu, lo kov veses liyom l'kvitzos. Okay, now, before we get to the next stop. Somehow, the answer, it's talking about yom and kfitzos. What's the word that the poskim use for a combined besis of days and kfitzos? Morkav, right? Even in modern-day Hebrew, morkav is the word for something that's complex, right? It's combined, two things are combined. Where is, how do we know that harkava means combining?
Grafting,
right? In Hilchos Klayim, etc. Or Erla, etc. Right? So, maybe it came from there. But in any case, morkav in modern-day Hebrew means complex, you know, some sort of combination. Here, vesas morkav means there are two different factors with an and gate between them. Only these two factors together cause her to bleed. Now, here's the machlokes we showed him. Rav Huna says, kafza varatza, it's a vesas. There's a brisa who says, no, it's not a vesas in ones. And then we answer up the Bryson and says, he means it's not a vesses of one factor, it's a vesses of a morkum of two factors. So now the question is that line of the Brysa, and obviously what was the case of the Brysa? The case of the Brysa was, well, the Gemara is going to complicate it, but in the simple shot, it was, she jumped on Rosh Chodesh and saw, jumped on Rosh Chodesh and saw, jumped on Rosh Chodesh and saw, so she is a vesses morkum of jumping on Rosh Chodesh. The question is this, is that Okimta going back on Rav Huna or not? Did Rav Huna mean Vesis Morkov? Or did Rav Huna mean just Vesis Kfitzos? So, let me illustrate this. Is it a... No. No, but I will, instead of explaining to you why, I will put it on the board. Says Rav Huna. Says Rav Huna. Huna kafza virasa times 3 equals veses kavua. Right? And he clearly doesn't mean yamin. He seems to mean kvitzos. But then we bring in the brisa. What did the brisa mean? Again, the Gemara is going to say the brisa is too obvious and add a little bit of an okimta. But the simple shot of the brisa, what's the general case of brisa? The brisa, you know, more or less. What do I mean more or less? Because the Gemara is going to say, no, it actually means you have to throw in one additional knetch to make it a big chiddush. But more or less what the brisa means is, kafza v'rosh chodesh v'rasa times 3 equals veses kavua morkav. Morkav is not a Gemara word. The Gemara doesn't use the word morkav. The Rishon and Achronim use that word. The Gemara just says yamu kvitzos. Morkov, liyamin, ulikvitzos. The question is, what did Rav Huna mean? What did Rav Huna mean? There are two ways to understand what Rav Huna meant. One way is, we'll call it the Rashi, Balamor, and Tor way, and then the Beis Yosef in the Bedek Habayis also adds that he found this Ramban's pshat. Even though there's some issue. You should know, in some of the late Rishonim, there's always gears of problems between Ramban and Ramban. Just like, hey, were you ever in elementary school? Does this happen? Everyone in elementary school, they always mix up Ramban and Ramban. So you have these gears of problems also. It's one of the cases of Beis Yosef here, and there goes my money. It seems to me in the end that the Ramban, they quote the Ramban on the Rambam side, but it seems to be the Ramban was actually, that he writes later on the Vedic Habayis, that the Ramban was on the Balamor side here. You always have to be very careful. Now, if you're modern edition of the footnotes, just look at the footnotes. But if you don't have modern edition of the footnotes, you always have to be a little wary of Rambams and Rambans, that they sometimes get switched. And Hilchos Nida, this happens all the time. Because it's just such an obvious mistake. If you're a scribe copying something over, I don't mean if you're the Talmud Chacham, you know who's the Rambam and the Ramban. If you're a scribe copying something over, if the text says Rashba, you're not going to accidentally, you know, copy it over as Rambam. But if the text says Rambam, you might accidentally copy Ramban and vice versa, because it's such a small mistake, it's easy for a scribe to make. So that's why it's a very common mistake, not to mention the fact that sometimes it only says Ram. Okay, in any case, what are the two ways to read this? One way to read this is the Rashi, the Razar, Rav Zrachya Levi, the Balamor, the Ramban, and the Torah. This is the Torah's way of reading it. How do they read it? They read it as Rav Huna is talking about pure pure vesis kvitzos. He's throwing out a pure vesis kvitzos. And what's the case? It was random days, and it's a vesis kavua lekvitzos lechon. It's a vesis kavua pure kvitzos because it happened on random days. What's the chiddush of the brisa which says? Ones is not a vesis. The brisa says, "Kol shet ben machas ones is not a vesis." What does it mean by ones is not a vesis? When the brisa says, "Ones ain't no vesis," what did that mean? It meant that if it happened on the same day three times, it's not a veses fitzos, but a veses morkav lechod. That's all they meant. They didn't mean onus, not a veses. They just meant if the onus happened on the same day, don't blame only the onus. Blame the combination of the ones and the yamim. And if you'll say that's not very much of a chiddush, meaning a stama, so the Gemara is going to ask that's not a chiddush, and then say, oh, the chiddush is if you, this other case that we'll get to. And that's the next set. That's the way Rashi, the Razan, the Ramban, and the Torah say. So the Torah says that a vesis machos onus, a regular vesis kavua. The only thing is, if it happens in certain days, and not on random days, but on fixed days, don't blame the onus, blame the combination. However, Tosfos and the Rashba and the Rambam and the Mechaber read it differently. Tosfos, the Rashba, and the Rambam and the Mechaber, they read it differently. They say, when the Gemara in the end says it's Veses Morkov, they're going back on Rav Huna. I'm going to go a little out of order. They say, Ones, dot, 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 Eino Veses, means that there is no such thing as a Veses Likvitzos Lechod. There is no such thing as a vesis of onus. Onus cannot be a vesis. There is no vesis onus. There is no vesis kavua machlos onus. You can only have a vesis for kvitzos if it is morkav. There is no vesis for kvitzos, only if it's morkav. That's the Pashup shot in the Braisa. Pashup shot in the Braisa says, I'll tell you, I'll read you the lawsuit again. Obviously, we've all learned enough Gemara to know that Pashup shot in the Braisa is not always the Maskana. But the Pashup shot in the, no more than Pashup shot in the Sukkim is Maskana. But the Pashup shot in the Braisa is, listen to the lawsuit in the Braisa, Kol she tekve ene machmas ones, afilu kama pa'amin, lo kava veses. Any des machmas ones, even many times, is not a veses. Sounds like Rashba and Tosfos the Rambam shot, which is what's Rav Huna? Rav Huna Mayri Beveses Morkav Liyamim Vilikvitzos. We're going back and reinterpreting. Rav Huna says Kafta Rasa, Kafta Rasa, Kafta Rasa. He meant Kafta Rosh Chodesh Rasa, Kafta Rosh Chodesh Rasa, Kafta Rosh Chodesh Rasa. He meant the Veses Morkav, because there is no such thing as a Veses Kvitzos. In which case, this principle of Kolshen Venim Achmas Onas Eino Veses is a very big chiddush, very important. Okay, these are the two ways of reading this, the beginning of this Gemara, which is the most fundamental part of this Gemara. Let's go back to our Shulchan Aruch then. Okay, I basically summarized the Mishnah for you, as I want to do on occasion. And says the Mechaber, Kol veses shenikma machmas ones, kigon shekafta v'rasa, afila rasa bokama pa'amin. Even if it happens many times, lo kavas on the yom, if it's not morkav on a certain day, if it's on random days, ain't no veses. It's not a veses, shibne ones rasa, it's because of ones. This is the psak of the Mechaber lehalacha. And The Ramah doesn't argue. L'chora, the Ramah also agrees, right? Add the parentheses. Oh, mikol makom choshesh es lo kamot shemesh eino kavua. Okay, might have a status of eino kavua. But, says the Shach, something important. He says that when we say choshesh es keino kavua, we don't mean if it happens once you're choshesh es keino kavua. If it happens once, you're not choshesh at all. If it happens three times, it becomes eino kavua. Explains the Shach that if it happened once, it's not anything. If it happened thrice, then it's like a veses she'eino kavua. Meaning, don't misunderstand this parenthesis to mean if it happens once, it's eino kavua. No, it's downgrade. Even if it happens three times, we only treat it like eino kavua. And if it happens once, we don't worry about it at all. She's kufta v'rasa once, and then she's kufta again. She doesn't have to worry at all. There's no veses at all. Because we don't take it so seriously, because machos onus. What's the logic here? The logic is that what's machlokas here? The Rashi and the Balamoritz and the Torah, etc. They think that onus is just as good a factor as anything else. Okay, maybe you'll see in some subtle ways it's a little discriminated against. But like, why shouldn't you get a permanent onus just as much as a day in the month or a haflaga? Tosos, the Rashi would think no. they think that it doesn't really make sense. Like, a woman has a certain inner process. It doesn't make sense that a pizza should always cause her to get her veses, because then in the door herself, what if she's kofetz every day? What if she's not ever kofetz? Like, there has to be, it can't be totally under her control. That doesn't make sense, because then she could get her veses 5 times in 5 weeks and no times in 10 weeks and etc. And that clearly the body can't work that way. Therefore, we suspect that it was coincidence.
So then she'd be okay with
it. No, but the point is, if
she bleeds every time she jumps, then she should have. Then she should. It should be done.
No, because we don't believe
that. If she doesn't have it every time, then it shouldn't be a problem.
No, but it's since the only veses we believe that it could be her fundamental pattern that lasts forever. We might be right, might be wrong, but it could be. Here, it doesn't.
But she should be okay with it every day. Every 3 days, or once, and she jumps.
Okay, but what that means is that it's not really as serious. Basically, when we say one has a veses, we think it's going to continue forever. That's the whole point of veses going to bottom. Here, we don't really think it's going to continue forever, and therefore, it's not a veses in the first place. Okay, the question is: do we take this as a serious, or do we say it might be coincidence? That's the machlokas. How does the Mechaber Paskin? The Mechaber Paskin is very clearly like Tosfos and the Rashi and the Rambam, which again says maskana beis Yosef. What did the Gruss say? If you look at the Gra, he's not so clear. It says the Gra on the Shulchan Aruch, Kefirah Shatoso Sham, Va'ayin Shav, etc. V'yishlom Chenichriya Rashba, etc. etc. Chen Das Rin Chanan Ol Shar Poskim. Aval Das HaRazov V'Tor K'Rashi. The Razov and the Torah hold like Rashi. It's always hard to tell exactly what the Gra is trying to say. Some people understand maybe the Gra is trying to agree against it. He says, that's some Poskim, but the Razov and the Torah hold like Rashi. But it's not so clear. He could just be pointing out to you the Shitas. The one Achron does argue is the Shach. The Shach in Sifkatan. Let me just find it. Okay, maybe not. Okay, this is the Hachra of the Machaber, that a Vesa Machos Ones is not a Veses. The Gra, it's not so clear if he agrees, but that's the Hachra of the Machaber. Let's just throw in a few details to this. The Shach, the Katan Memches, tries to elucidate what it means that it's not Kavua. He says that, first of all, you're only Choshesh for Enu Kavua if it happens three times. And if it happens once, you're not choshesh at all. That he says very clearly. But, however, he says, you are choshesh for a veses morkov after once. Why? Because if it happened three times, it would be kavua. So then it makes sense that you should be choshesh for it once. So, what does he say? Once, well, okay, we'll get to it. Let's read on then. Kafza. Kafts of Harasa, Kafts of Harasa, Kavala Vesas Lyamim below Kvitzos. Kafts of Harasa, Kafts of Harasa, Kavala Vesas Lyamim below Kvitzos. Ketzad, what's a case where it would be a Vesas Lyamim? Kafts of Ech Beshabes Harasa Dam Lachar. Okay, sorry, I was confused. The Shach does not argue the Machaber here. Let's move on then to the next part of the Gemara. Okay, so here we have a psak. Even though the Grub points out that Machos Rishonim doesn't explicitly argue the Machaber, we all pass like the Machaber, that a Veses Machos Ones, like Tosfos of the Rashi, the Machaber, is not a Veses at all. And if it happens three times, it becomes Eino Kavua. If it happens once or twice, it is nothing whatsoever.
And it can never become Kavua.
And it can never become Kavua. Just can't. It's Mufka from Veses Kavua. Now let's read further in the Gemara.
Can you explain what... is the only place we have something where if it happens three times, it becomes a vestige in a kavua?
So far, yes.
You've never seen this before, right?
Correct.
And this is part of the system? Or it's an innovation?
Not sure what you mean by that.
You mean, from when does this come, that you can have something come three times and all of a sudden it's a vestige in a kavua?
That is a great question. I mean, the Rama quotes it from the Hagos Maimonios. Where does he get it from? There is a model, although that's also not before in the Gemara, of a pregnant woman, according to many shitas, that if she sees three times, it becomes a veses she'ena kavua, but she can't be tovea veses because she's mesulekas damim. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's also not mefurish in shas. So it might just be a svara. Namely, the svara is if it happens three times, then we at least have to consider it some chance of being more than coincidence. But I'm not sure. It doesn't have a clear makor in shas. Okay, let's continue the Gemara Daf Yalef from Aleph. Ready? The Gemara says, this is too pasha. What's the chiddush? So they say, here's the chiddush. They have two lashonos what the chiddush is. And I'm going to read the Gemara in accordance with the, you know, Agos Agra, with what he points out, meaning what's in brackets, I'm going to read as if it's there. What's in parentheses, I'm going to read as if it's not there, like we usually do. Obviously, there are different girsas in the Gemara. I'm going to read according to the accepted girsa. Says the Gemara, what's the case? Ravash says, she jumped on Sunday and saw, jumped on Sunday and saw, jumped on Shabbos and didn't see, and saw on Sunday. So what's the case? What's the Lishna Kama? Lishna Kama.
This is the Yidala?
Yeah. Kafza be'echad b'rasa. Kafza be'echad b'rasa. Kafza b'shabes v'lo rasa v'rasa be'echad b'shabes. So she jumps three times and sees three times on Sunday, but the third time she jumped on Shabbos and saw on Sunday. So like there was a 24-hour gap between the jumping and the bleeding. So mal detema, you might have thought, igloy nosel fe diyom, kugar lo kvitsa, kumashel lo kvitsa, nami esel gar ma, vado lo chazor, shel kag lo matzah man kvitsa. You might have thought, igloy nosel is just a Sunday. You know, it doesn't have to be every Sunday. That would be weird if it be every three Sundays. But Kamashvula, no, it's a really Veses more of a Kvitzos on Sunday. It's just that the Kvitzah could be a little in advance and still count. So what's the din? Well, Shikama is that the din is, this is a Veses Morkov Lekthitsa v'yom echad. Just, there's some flexibility that the kfitza could be a little in advance of the day and still join together. Then there's the Lishna Achrina. Lishna Achrina says, Amar Rav Huna, etc., etc. Hechidami. The kafetz b'chad b'shabas b'chazoi, the kafetz b'chad b'shabas b'chazoi, l'chad b'shabas b'chazoi b'lo kfitza. Lishna Achrina. Is kafetza be'echad v'rasa. Kafetza be'echad b'shabas v'rasa. She wasn't kafetza at all. Well, seemingly. And she was rasa after the Shabbos. What's the din? This is the Veses L'Yom Echad. There's no kfitzos involved. Now, here is the machlokas. Maybe it's machlokas in Gersa, maybe it's machlokas in Perush. How does the Lishna Achrina relate to the Lishna Kama? And here we have a machlokas Rishonim. The Rashba and the Torah say they're two different cases. The Resha is, they're both cases where she saw twice by jumping on Sunday and the third time on Sunday without jumping. But he says there's a big difference. One, she jumped the day before the third time, and in this Lishna Achrina, she didn't jump at all. Say, no machlokes in Lishna Achrina, Lishna Kama, Lishna Achrina. They're both right. Says the Rashba in the Torah, says there's no machlokes. There's no machlokes. If she jumped on Shabbos, we blame it on the Morkav. If she doesn't jump at all the third time, we blame it on the day. However, the Ramban and the Ramban see it differently. The Rambam and the Ramban say no. Say the Lishna Achrina rejected the Lishna Kama.
Okay, how's it look in the Gemara?
What?
Like the Gemara just brings it.
It says Lishna Achrina. Lishna Achrina. Doesn't say what the relation between them is. And the problem is, we also have a Gersa issue here when it says she jumped on Shabbos, when it says she didn't jump on Shabbos. Right? Just the Lishna Achrina, Isaac?
Yeah.
Right? So the Rashi say, yeah, Lishna Achrina, there are two Lishonos as to what Rav Huna meant. They're both true. They're just two different cases of different Pesachim. Different cases of different Pesachim. But we Taka don't know what Rav Huna meant. Two Lishonos is what Rashi said Rav Huna meant. Okay, but they're both right. In the end, who cares what Rav Ashi said Rav Huna meant? They're both true. They're both logical. Says Rav Naran, no, it's a machlokes. The Lishna Kama was saying something, and the Lishna Achrina came and rejected it. And what does the Lishna Achrina mean? According to Rav Narban, according to the Rashba and the Tor, Davka Mishum Shelo Kafza B'Shabbos. The Lishna Achrina is saying, if she didn't jump on Shabbos, then there's no jumping, and we glide milsa that it's only the days. Say the Rabban, no. They say, afilu even if she did jump on Shabbos, the Lishna Achrina is arguing, saying, even if she jumped on Shabbos, if she didn't jump on Sunday, then it's not a versus Morkav, and you only blame the days. Meaning, what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is, what about this case? The Rashman per se, we keep the Lishna Kama, and it's a Veses Morkav, just a Veses Morkav with flexibility that the Maisa could be a day before the day. And the Rambam Ramban says, we reject the Lishna Kama. In the end, if the third time around the Kfitza was 24 hours in advance, we ignore the Kfitza and only blame Yom Aleph. How do we paskin? Sorry, here's where the Shach disagreed with the Mechaber. How do we paskin? Let's read the Mechaber. Kafza v'rasa, kafza v'rasa, kavu v'eses, liyamin below kvitzos. Ketzad, kafza be'echa v'shavos v'rasa dam. U'la'achar esrim yom, meaning 21 days later, or, 22 in Haflag language. Right, after skipping 20 days, kafza be'echa v'shavos v'rasa dam. 3 weeks later, she also jumps on Sunday and bleeds. U'la'achar yotes yom, almost 3 weeks later, kafza be'yom ha'shavos lo rasa dam. On Shabbos, she jumped and didn't see. And on Sunday she saw without kvitza. That's the case of Lishna Kama. What's the Makabas Pesachary? Nikva Ech Beshabas Achar Esrim. It's a pure vest of the day. Shari Nodashe Yom Garden Law. Now it's revealed that it's only the day that causes the Kvitza, not the Kvitza. For Nikva Yom Zer Shlosh Pamim. And now it's a vest of Sundays of three times. Same Rugam Sundays of three times. So, Paskins the Machaber, like the Rambam and the Ramban, he says that in the first case, or in the case of the Lishna Kama, it is a pure Vestes Liyamim. And we say, if the Misa was 24 hours off, we ignore the Misa. It's not because of the Misa. Here's where the Grug disagrees. The Grug says here in Sifkatan Mechavav, he says, Lishna Basra, and the first poem is Shakama. The Mechaber thinks Lishna Basra, argued on the Lishna Kama. Well, Kol Poskim was low poem. Kol Poskim means Rov Poskim, said not that way. No, it's not Machlokes at all. The etc. etc. And they think there's a Gerson that says this. That's the Rambam, but it's not really true. The Rosh, the Rosh Hashanah post, the Chayin, son of the Kamen, etc. Okay, says the Ra. He paskins like the other Rishonim. He says we don't paskin like the Rambam. He says in the case of the Lishna Kama, it is a Veses Morkov, like the Lishna Kama, and there's no argument between them. The Shach here is Mesopek. The Shach here is a little hard to read. The beginning, it's easy to read. He says, Avala Rashma Vator, right by the Rashma of the Torah there? Yeah, the Rashma of the Torah. Paskusha told me as I was going to say. No, you do say that you put together the Sunday with yesterday's jumping, Kav Vesel and Rishla Kvitsa, and you have Vesel's Morkov Sundays and Kvitsa, of a not the Yom Chudayu. Kenkas Rafa Magim Shem Ha Ramban, the Mistabakin Veskarban Kin Lakulum, Vivas Yosef, the Tamil Mahab Rav Shmigu Daitam, the Ochigamkin, and Das Harivid, the Sefer, Bali and Nefesh, etc. Varashbar Keisha, he says lots of Rishonim agree with the, and some people even have the Ramban agreeing with the Rashba. And then he says something which is a little hard to figure out the Gerus. He says, and even though it's a Svar to be Mako, not sure what he means by this, still, you can't be Mako because the Kula will lead to a Chumra. Okay, not 100% clear what he means by this, but Pashtus, he means what the Dugalmir Vava is, makes a Haggah. Says, and even though you might say it's always good to be Machmir, it's a little hard to figure out what the Shach means. He says, even though it's a Svar to be Mako, but don't be Mako because it'll lead to a Chumra. And then he explains that the Svara of the Rambam will lead to a Kula. So, not so clear how he's saying don't be making it lead to a Chumra, and then says because it'll lead to a Kula. So, we'll read like the Dodo Mirvavi says, even though you might think it's always good to be Machmir, and therefore the Machaber makes sense, he says pure Ves is Yamin, that's more Chumra. Why is it pure more Chumra? So, pure Ves is Yamin, she has to refrain from Tashmish every third Sunday. If the Ves is Morkov, she only has to refrain from Tashmish every third Sunday if she jumps. Pretty much by definition, it's more Machmir to refrain on Sundays with or without jumping than to only refrain on Sundays with jumping. Right? So, the so he says, again, according to Dogmer Vava's emendation, and if the Machaber defends the Vaseh on being Machmer, he says it's not true he's being Machmer. It looks like he's being more Machmer. Because he's saying you have to be Porush every third Sunday regardless. That's more Machmer than only Porush every third Sunday if. But really it's also a Kula. Why? What if three Sundays pass and she didn't jump and didn't see? Then all of a sudden now the Machaber is being Mekel. Ah, now it's uprooted. While the Torah would have been Machmer, now it's not uprooted. It's only uprooted if you jump three times on Sunday and don't see. Meaning, this is more, if you take two cases, what the Shach trying to say? If in 3 weeks she doesn't jump on Sunday, then the Rambam is more machmir, and the Rashba is mekel. Because the Rambam says she has to refrain from Tashmish, because it's just Sundays, and the Rashba says she doesn't have to refrain from Tashmish, because she didn't jump. But if three times she didn't jump and didn't see, meaning on the right day, and on the fourth time she jumps, 3 weeks later she didn't jump and didn't see. 3 weeks after that didn't jump and didn't see. 3 weeks after that didn't jump and didn't see. 3 weeks after that she jumped. Now all of a sudden the Rambam's makel. Because the Rambam says it was nekar three times. She doesn't have to be choshed anymore. Well, the Rashi would be machri. He says it wasn't nekar at all. She didn't jump. Now is the first time she jumped. So, therefore she has to refrain. So says the Shach, he doesn't understand why the Mechaber said this, because even though it looks like he's being machri, he's also, it's a chumr hasi l'yakula, and what gives him the right to paskin against Rav Rishonim, just like the Rambam. Halach l'maisa, the Achronim understand that the Shach said we should be machri both ways. That's sort of what comes out of it. He says, what right do you have to pass like the Rambam? Don't say you're being machmer, because either way is a chomer nekula. So minastam, not that this is ever going to happen, but minastam, the shach sounds like shach is mashma that he is machmer like both shittos. He'll take whichever shita is more machmer in every situation. Okay, halacha maisa would probably pass like the shach, but it's not likely to happen anyway. that is okay. That is some basics of Se'if Yud Zayin. Now, so other details in Se'if Yud Zayin. There are some other details in the Pesach Tshuvas here in Yud Ches and Yud Tes and Chaf. Let us mention some of these details. Excuse me, sorry. There's some interesting discussions. For example, in Sivkat and Chaf, he quotes a Chavos Da'as. He says, interesting case. What if three times she jumped on Shabbos and saw on Sunday? Then do you say it's morkum of jumping yesterday and Sunday? Or then do you say it's only Sundays? So the note of Yudah says, no, once we can say it's yesterday's jumping, but three times don't say it's yesterday's jumping. If it's all three times, just say it's Sunday. So he says everyone would agree if it was three times jumped on Shabbos and saw on Sunday, we'd only blame the Sunday. Because, like, why blame the morkum when I have to say three times there's flexibility? Okay, these are all details. Again, they're not super likely to be. Halacha l'maisa, that he also quotes a note of Yehuda in Sifkat and Chaf, who says that we're told on kfitz of yesterday, right? According to the Grah, etc. But only yesterday, not like two or three or four or five days ago. Now then, we can't say that it was Murkav. Only one, basically, the Achronim restricting, even if you say the Kippur L'Shtekhava, it's only if it was one day beforehand, and only if it was only one of the three times.
Question on the Vesis Murkav and L'Shtekhava. Mm-hmm. It might prove a relationship between jumping and the Yom, and getting the same job, but it doesn't prove when it's going to happen. You don't have a chazak, you don't have three that say when a woman jumps on a specific day.
No, we have three times that when
two.
When the Sunday comes and there was jumping within the last day, she'll see.
Okay, we also don't have the proof that when she jumps on the day of the...
I mean, that's why it's machlokes, right? Because you have to make this funny getter. When it's the Sunday and there was jumping today or yesterday, she'll see.
Right, it's kind of weak.
Right, so just interestingly, what are some of the achronim saying because they chuba? If it's three times Kafts of a Shabbos or Rosh of a Sunday, it gets pure Sunday. If it's Kafts of Sunday, saw Kafts of Sunday, saw Kafts of Tuesday, saw next Sunday, it's pure Sunday. But, as the...
How do you put those levels together?
I'm not sure what you're asking.
If you can say that every time a woman jumps on Shabbos and sees on Sunday, then it's not a Vesis Morkav. So why is this any different than that?
Ah, because you're willing to, it's just a matter of playing the odds. You're willing to say, ah, there was some flexibility once, because twice you have an established pattern.
But so what does it mean, twice an established pattern?
Meaning, if most of the time she jumped on Sunday, and once she jumped on Shabbos, we'll say, okay, since most of the time is the exact time, and once it was off, that'll be buttoned the rope, as it were. But if it's three times off, it's just a matter of where you draw the line. Actually, in Shechavos Das, which is just the Pesach Shu says, you're not going to copy over. What if once she jumped and saw the next day? Once she jumped and saw the next day, once she jumped and saw the next day, and there were random days. Then there would be a Veses the day after you jumped, interestingly. He also has an interesting, Chavos Das here says, what if a certain amount of hours after you jump? Then it's only that hour. That was the Veses Shalos that we saw. Okay, but these are all details which, you know, I don't want to get too into, so let's just learn Daf Yud Ches, and then maybe we will call it a day. Daf Yud Ches. Se'if Yud Ches. Says Se'if Yud Ches. Kafza b'yom yadua, kigon bit rosh chodesh, o me'echem Shabbos. For Rasapo, what if she was kafza on a certain pattern of a day, like Rosh Chodesh or Sunday and Rasapo? Iver came Shlosha Rosh Chodesh and Shlosha Echav Shabbos, couple of Veses, Choshesh and Cholpam to take both for Oso Zman. That's called the classic Veses Morkov. She jumps three times on a certain day and sees. That's Veses Morkov. That it's only a Veses for when she jumps and sees. V'imacharka chigi Echav Shabbos lo kafza, o she kafza v'sheni v'shabbos, ein o Choshesh asheri lo kafe, o le kvitzo shel Echad. Shabbos. Let's just, I mean, this is very poshut. Let's just put on the board. Kafza, Birosh Chodesh, Birasa, three times. Now she has a Veses Morkov. What happens if she has a Veses Morkov? Just Rosh Chodesh, not Choshes. Just Rosh Chodesh, there's no Chash. Just Kfitza, that's called Kfitza on Monday, there's no Chash. Kafza birosh chodesh. That's the shash. It's only a vest if both things happen. Next Rosh Chodesh, she doesn't have to refrain from Tashmish. If she jumps on the full moon, she doesn't have to refrain from Tashmish. Only if she jumps on Rosh Chodesh. The shach points out something obvious, which I assume here. It's only nekar if kafza birosh chodesh. Right? Meaning, if for 10 years she never jumps on Rosh Chodesh, the vest wasn't nekar. Because it never didn't happen. You just never had the Hei Ketemzi. Right? So the only way to be Ochre is to jump on Rosh Chodesh three times and not see. If she doesn't jump on Rosh Chodesh, then it's not Nekar. It just doesn't apply. Okay, that's just common sense. The one thing the Shach said earlier in Sif Yud Zayin, he says, what if it happens once? Kafza B'Rosh Chodesh V'rasa pamachas. Now she has. You could have said, I mean, every kvitza is on a certain day, right? You could have said, now she has no veses, because kvitza alone doesn't make a veses. But, interestingly, she doesn't have a veses kvitza. There's no veses kvitza. That was Sif Yud Zayin. But, she has a veses she'eno kavua liyamin v'kvitzos. Meaning, if Rosh Chodesh comes, she doesn't have anything. If she jumps on a different day, she doesn't have anything. If she jumps on Rosh Chodesh, now she has a Veses She'eino Kavua. She has to treat it like a Veses She'eino Kavua. Because since if it happened three times, it makes Kavua. If it happened once, it makes Eino Kavua. So basically, whenever she jumps, she makes an Eino Kavua for Morkov, and nothing for pure jumping, and nothing for the pure day. So only if she jumps again on Rosh Chodesh does she have to worry about it.
Did the Shach say that these happen
three
times for you to be worried
about it? That's if it's not with the day. Meaning, what the Shach means is this. To have to worry about pure jumping has to happen three times. Okay. To have to worry about jumping on Rosh Chodesh, it only has to happen once. Interestingly, here's the discussion that the Shach implies in the Pesach Chuvit in Sif Yud Zayin explicates. What if she gets a period and 26 days later jumps and sees? That is a veses. It's not anything for kvitzos. It's a veses she'enu kavur for mork of the day of the month. It's not a veses she'enu kavur for jumping on 26. Because it's only a veses she'enu kavur if it's a haflaga from jumping to jumping. So only if she jumps and sees and then 26 days later jumps and sees, that's a veses she'enu kavur for haflaga. So in other words, to have haflaga of jumping has to be from jumping to jumping. not from plain Pervia to jumping. Yes. I had a feeling that I might lose you right there. But this is it's sort of implied by the Pesach Tshuva Chaf Aleph, and it's also implied by the Pesach Tshuva Chaf Aleph, maybe it's just there. It's like this. How do you have a Veses She'enu Kavua for Kfitza plus Haflaga? So let's say, how do you have a Veses She'enu Kavua for Kfitza and Rosh Chodesh? She jumps on Rosh Chodesh and sees. How do you have a Veses She'enu Kavua for Kfitza and Haflaga of 36? She has to jump and see, and then 36 days later, jump and see. Stam period, and then 36 later, jump and see. If she has a Stam period and 36 later, jumps and sees, that's not a Veses She'enu Kavua of Haflaga and Kfitza. So it's not a Haflaga from a Kfitza. You can only combine Haflaga with Kfitza, it's a Haflaga from a Kfitza. Okay, that's what the Achronim assume, and the Chaf Aleph plays around with, not plays around, let's say he fleshes out some of the implications, maybe we'll leave that for now.
So on this last point, mm-hmm. What's the relationship between this Vesed and other Vesed that she could have? Can she have another Vesed Kavua of Haflaga or Yamim?
Absolutely. A woman, for example, can have a Vesed Kavua of Tesvav L'Chodesh and jumping on Rosh Chodesh. And she could keep that forever, right? If every month she gets her period on Tesvav, and three times she jumped on Aleph and got her period, and then decided to stop jumping, she now has a Veses Kavu of Tesvav and a Veses Kavu of jumping on Rosh Chodesh, because she never uprooted either of them.
If she had a Veses Kavu of jumping and Yamim, would she need to keep Oda Bainer Neid? She would need to keep Yom HaChodesh and Oda Bainer Neid for the next month?
So, interestingly, good question. Let's say, for example, all the woman has, right? Pretend we forgot the old history. She jumped on Rosh Chodesh and saw. She has no Veses Kavua. She would need to keep Ona Bein in it. She would not need to keep the day of the month next month because only if she jumps. If she doesn't jump, she wouldn't need to. So she'd be in a very makel situation.
She does not need to do
Ona Bein in it. She does need Ona Bein, but she doesn't need to keep the day of the month, the Yom HaChodesh, unless she jumps.
What would be the difference between Ona Bein and
Yom HaChodesh?
It's like, why would you keep one and not the other? Why don't we say Ona Bein?
Ona Bein is just a gzeira. It's not based on what you did. Right? If Veses HaChodesh is based on what you did, since she only saw through jumping, she also keep Yom HaChodesh if she jumps. She was only Kovea Veses HaChodesh Kavua Yom Lefitzos. She has no Veses Rosh Chodesh. And no Veses Kvitza. Only a Veses HaChodesh Kavua Kvitza on Rosh Chodesh. But of course she keeps saying Ona Bein. That's a gzeira.
What are we categorized under the category of cups? Meaning, if we're going to say that cups of Rosh Chodesh hamachas, there's no Veses HaChodesh, then like a woman who gets her period normally, we might just say that, I don't know, she played sports that day, and she's really going to have the Veses for sports in Wednesday. And then, like, if she plays sports again that day, then she's not going to have the Veses.
That is a great question. meaning, you always did something that day, right? What if she went to the opera that day? So
she ate garlic that day. Then.
Right. That is a great question. Because we all think in common sense it should just be the day, right? And La Maisa, it's not just common sense. La Maisa, you know, you never heard a rabbi tell a woman, before you calculate your vestos, did you, like, do anything that day? You know, maybe it's only Veses Morkov. That is a good question. So, number one, the answer is clearly this is only for extraordinary activities, not for everyday activities. Right? Meaning, you're not going to say, oh, I went shopping that day. Yeah, I went to work that day. You know,
Jumping is very extreme.
What?
Jumping is very extreme.
Jump? At my age, jumping is very extreme. You think twice, three times before you ever jump. No, it also depends what you mean by jumping, right? Meaning there's, but I don't know, whoever jumps. I can't remember the last time I jumped. Why would you jump? It's so dangerous. I assume this means a serious kind of jumping. Again, I don't know exactly what a serious kind of jumping is. But you'll see when you're my age.
You know, like even like in the chassas, and they play that like thing they call that pastor music nowadays, and like everyone stands on the side and they go like this. Yeah, I know, but I thought that I was only doing it for chinuch purposes, to the sacrifice on my part. And then your feet start to hurt, and it goes to your joints and everything. Okay, you'll see.
Are calculating
vestals
to service that even before they get married?
Fair enough. Anyway, so I assume they mean some sort of unusual jumping here. So what if you did something unusual that day? So I think theoretically, if you did something unusual that day, then you shouldn't necessarily have to keep the Yom HaChodesh and HaFlagah unless you do that same unusual thing. What's the Minhag HaOlam? The Minhag HaOlam is clearly that since we don't find that these things make us bleed so much nowadays, we try not to be makel based on this. So I think you're right. The Minhag HaOlam is we sort of ignore this, like, we don't. The Vestos app doesn't ask you, did you do extraordinary physical activity today? But in a Hanami, theoretically, if she did some extraordinary physical activity, then that would be a cool in Vestos because she would only have a new kavur for more kav. And I think clearly, if a woman really has some common sense reason to think that her period came because of something she did, then she should follow what it says in the Shulchan Aruch and only worry about the Morkav in the Hanami. But you're right, the standard Minhag HaOlam is to assume that, you know, in our lifestyles, that probably was not because of the physical activity and not to make a big deal of it. And I would follow that Minhag HaOlam. So Halach L'maaseh would say, look, the Minhag HaOlam is probably not to take advantage of this when it doesn't seem intuitive to us. But certainly, if someone had any havamina that perhaps it was caused by Maisa, then they should follow what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, and maybe we'll leave it at that. Okay, is anyone ahead of where I am now in Hachana? No? Okay, so we'll continue with Mitzvah Hashem next time. And just to repeat some of the scheduling details, after two more shiurim, we'll break for Hazara, like I sent out in the email when we finished the Siman. And Rabbi David has kindly agreed